The fact that the car payment is just as much as her mortgage. What kind of fucking car
did she
get?
Why would you agree to that?
Yeah, what? That is insanity.
Get her a moped.
Right? A scooter. A bicycle. Like, people...
People make such stupid fucking financial choices.
Because they're the victims, John. Like, woe is me.
Hey, welcome back to Give Me Straight.
I'm Alex.
And I'm John.
And we're your
gracious hosts.
Wow, what did you do today, John?
What did I do today? I just pulled my back out an hour ago. So I'm holding all the tears back right now.
I blame you for saying pull your back out. I've been corrected
it.
By so many people that it's throw your back
Fuck,
out.
I don't care. Just keeping it in right now.
You pull a muscle, so that makes sense.
I like did one set of squats. I was like, I'm okay. And I was like, oh,
what
I feel
weight
great.
Was it?
Huh? How much? Just a 45 on each side. I was like, oh, no problem. I go, but you know what? Maybe I should stretch, just a stretch. And I did that Indian style stretch. You know, you put your feet together, stretch.
Yeah.
And
butterfly.
I fucking tweaked my back doing a stretch. I'm like, I just like.
You're just always walking on a thin line when it comes to throwing your back out. Would you say that you do it once a year?
I'm starting to think once or twice a year now. Yeah. I'm like, I'm doing back exercises. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And it just still happens. But I don't know. I'm not going to get like a lumpectomy or a spinal fusion. I don't want to do that.
I don't know if that would help or cause more problems.
So I'll just kill my liver and kidneys by loading up on ibuprofen and Tylenol and stuff.
I feel like nothing was worse than when you threw
Nothing's
your back out.
Nothing's worse than
out.
Sitting at a 90-degree angle right now. I can tell you that.
Would you rather just be laying down?
Give me the mic and I'm just like, oh, what's going on?
The issue is it always happens for you at the most inopportune time. Like, we're moving. We're going to be on a flight for hours. Then we're traveling on another, like, 14-hour flight for your back. But I feel like nothing was worse when you threw your back out when I needed LASIK and I'm blind and you're crippled and we're walking through the city and you're like, where do we go?
Cars are flying by, buses, cyclists. No, I think the worst is when I pull my, when right before we had like a 14-hour wedding day shooting and your grandmother was like, hey, John, help me move this flower pot real quick. It was right before we got in the car. I packed all this shit up. I pick up the flower pot, blow my back out. And then Alex is yelling at me all day because she couldn't use any of my footage. I'm holding the camera and the camera's just shaking everywhere.
There was no image stabilization at that point of time. Like, I think it was on your lenses, but there was nothing internal on the cameras. Now you could run around and it's fine. But at that point, you really had to, I would press record and not breathe to hold the camera steady. John's, it was an earthquake was happening every time. I'm like, none of these shots are usable.
They're doing like golden hour photos and I'm on all fours. Yeah. Like just holding I'm on the ground, like holding the monopod. I'm like, just fucking kill me.
I wonder if this
I'm a
is
wounded
life,
animal.
Though, balancing out you, like you do a good deed, but then it's like, but you're still not that great of a person, so let's just fuck you up. We were talking about that the other day, like
the show
The Good Place, where it's like, do how many good deeds have to level out your bad deeds, cancel them out? And I'm like,
for me, a lot.
You do for good sure. deeds, but
I don't
not,
want to, I just do them because, sometimes.
Yeah, like the other day, our neighbor's trash can, you were like, oh, it's not in the position that it's going to be in. Like I saw the guy, their person who put their trash cans out, put them in the wrong spot and they're not going to get picked up. And you were like, do I go move them? I'm like, what do you think? And you're like, oh, I'll go do it. And you did.
But I also, because the other part of that agenda was I wanted to call him, which I did, by the way, and let him know. I'm like, hey, just
oh,
so
you
know,
call
the
him?
Guys putting your trash cans down are putting them behind my trash cans and they're not going to pick your stuff up.
Yeah.
But, and I think also like, I don't want to get blamed for some reason. Like maybe... He thinks that like I put my trash cans
in front
of his.
Right.
So.
That's true. Covering your, what is the word?
My ass.
Covering your ass.
Yeah.
There's another word for that. Covering.
We're just like, remember when we were at the, a diner and it was snowing out and that fucking old lady was like trying to get up the ramp and she's like sliding down. I'm like, God damn it. And no one's helping
John's
her.
John's enjoying his meal and he looks outside. He's like, fuck. And then he just gets up without even saying a word to me.
Annoyed.
And goes outside. And you just annoyed.
I'm like, let's go. Come on.
You're so annoyed when you do it, but you still do the good deed. You know what? That's a perfect example for what people do in screenwriting, where it's called Save the Cat. They do, like, the main character who's either, like, not the villain, but... He's
not the best.
They need character development. So you start off where, like, they're a flawed character and you're not really supposed to like them. But the reason why you like them is because they do something like save the cat. Like, they save a cat from the tree, or they give an ice cream cone to a kid. Like, they do something that's redeemable of their character, and it's called Save the Cat. It's a book.
But I think in the movies, they actually, like, become a better person.
Well, they do.
I've been, like, a stagnant.
Right. And there's character development there. Yeah. No, and you're constantly developing your character.
I don't think I'm developing. I think I'm the same. I've been the same for years.
No, you're developing. Because now you're a dad.
I am.
So you have to develop.
Pappy. Pappy John.
What?
Like, hey, Pappy.
No, I don't like that.
No. I got a booger in my nose, but it's just like my nose hairs.
Let me see. I don't see anything. Okay.
What else?
No bats in the cave.
What else?
What did I do? I grew bones this weekend. Grew eyelashes.
Oh, or baby, like, bones.
Toenails. Yeah, I think baby is the size of, like, an orange or
that
something.
That app is crazy.
I know. I like comparing it to fruits.
What fruit are we this week?
I think an orange. It's an orange.
He or she is an orange?
It's an orange.
Yeah, you know, I want to start doing this. I just want to call it, like, a girl sometimes and a boy sometimes
so
to throw you off.
Know.
Because I'm going to end up...
That's what I thought our...
So he or she is an orange.
Our ultrasound tech was going to do, but then she just kept calling it the same thing. And I was like, well, that's what it is.
Yeah. Thanks, like, for not... Thanks for the surprise.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I did this weekend. I was very busy building and creating life. Still working right now.
You were just in overdrive.
Overdrive. And I'm so hungry because of it. I feel like next episode, we just need, like, a bowl of snacks around, because you just never know.
Everyone would love to hear you chew into the mic.
Your misophonia of me just chewing. That would be so nasty. But,
so did we talk about Finland, what we're doing, what's going on?
Yeah, I think we said that we're going away. I don't know if we said that it was Finland. I don't remember. I'm like short-term memory loss over here. So yeah, we get to New York, we go to Finland, and then we're back in New York.
Okay.
Hopefully our stuff arrives. I'm confused. What are you confused about?
Because you're making it sound like we're there for 48 hours and we're not. We're there for 24 hours. Like, now you're making me nervous. Look at the itinerary, because we fly in and then we leave the next day.
We fly in Friday night.
And we leave Saturday.
No, we don't. We leave Sunday.
Not what you told me. I've been telling everyone we're leaving
after
the party.
It's literally on the calendar. Do boys just not look at calendars? Maybe I won't say boys. Husbands? Like, it's on the calendar that we leave on Sunday.
Okay, whatever.
But I digress, John. You know what? You can leave whenever you think that you want to leave. Just get to the airport really early, and I'll meet you there 24 hours later.
Anyways, so, yeah. And then we have to take Kobe on the plane.
We spoke about that.
Did we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what we said and what we didn't say, but I think we should make a video about it, because it'll be hilarious.
I'm actually just really nervous again. I hope that he's a really good boy. I just hope he doesn't get the nervous shits or something.
He's going to freak out, because he freaks out in the car.
But he just freaks out by going under the seat, which is what he's supposed to do on a plane anyway. So, like, he'll just crawl under my legs and I'll just...
Luckily,
little...
he's cute, so hopefully people are like, oh, it's okay.
Oh, he's so sweet. Exactly. Yeah. Fingers crossed. One thing I do want to talk about, outside of Kobe getting another bath before, like, you gave him one last night, he still smells like a skunk. Just so you guys know, it's been, what, a month
Since
and a half?
Super Bowl.
Since Super
it happened
Bowl.
Happened on Super Bowl.
So don't let your animals get skunked, and you yourself don't get skunked, because the smell will just linger. But one thing I do want to talk about is my hatred for microwave drawers. And it wasn't until
so random.
We moved into a house when we were, like, upgrading things in our kitchen here in LA. We're like, oh my God, yeah, we're going to get a microwave drawer. Like, so cool, so hip, so functional. It's not. It's so slow. It's the worst thing. I have no patience for a microwave drawer.
So it's not the microwave drawer that's the problem. It's that you have to, like, let it open by itself. Or I guess is that...
That's what I mean. It just takes so long.
I want to slam the drawer, the door closed.
The door.
Yeah, for the microwave. I hate it. It takes forever.
I thought I would love it and feel so upscale with a microwave drawer. And it just makes me angry.
No, it's the worst. And now that my back's blown out,
you have to lean over. Have to
bend over. And then I can't see the fucking timer on it or like the where the open close button is. I have to look, bend down. It's the worst.
I just hope that our next house that we haven't seen yet, because this is another house that we got sight unseen, that they have a microwave, a regular one, like an old school. Otherwise, I think we install a regular one.
We have to baby-proof everything.
That's true, like outlets, but they don't walk for a while.
I don't know. When they start walking?
5?
Well, if we put balls in his or her hands, maybe
they'll start, be walking. Maybe they start walking 6 months.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started walking?
I don't know. I don't think I started talking until I was like 9.
I don't know how old I was, but I could imagine I was advanced.
Oh my God. Okay. Is there anything else?
The
only thing I could think of is like meeting other people's babies, you know, like I hope we love our child
as much as Kobe. What are you trying to
know.
There's nothing to compare it to. We literally don't have our own.
Like,
kids.
You know, you meet other people's babies. You're like, yeah, they're cute. Whatever,
imagine
you know?
The amount of people who I've spoken to where they're like, trust me, you don't like other people's kids, but you love your own. Because that's kind of how I feel about dogs. Like other people's dogs, I'm like, meh, he's okay. But Kobe, the king.
Okay, cool.
You know, think about it like that.
You know, being like, hi, you know, I'm like, I'm so over
it. We're going to compare every experience to Kobe.
Yeah, we have problems.
He's just so cute. I just don't want to be one of those people who just forget about Kobe.
I don't think we could. We've been through too much.
I know.
And he only has a short amount of time left.
John,
so we really
Jesus Christ, he's going
to
live forever. Let's just jump into questions, shall we? All right. Question 1. I have a good marriage, and when I talk to my friends, it could feel like I'm bragging. I certainly find it hard to join in on spouse bashing. That's just not my thing. My relationship isn't perfect, but we've worked hard to get to where we are, and things are really good. How can I interact with my friends when we talk about marriage without bragging or sounding like I'm perfect? I want to respect where they are in their relationships.
It's good that you acknowledge that, too, because I think bashing or talking ill about someone is such a toxic trait, and like, you're saying that you guys are working on having a better relationship, and that's awesome that you acknowledge that too.
Right.
Because I think you falling in line with everyone else doing it is gonna, you know, go make it worse on your own relationship. I don't know. It could be like subconsciously trigger some shit in your own.
This to me though is very similar to how people feel about their careers, like when they have to downplay what they do for work, if they're doing well in work, so that they don't make other people feel bad. It's like, don't let other people make you feel like you have to dim your light. If anything, you could set a good example of what people should be achieving or searching for in a relationship.
There's a way to say it without boasting.
Without boasting, exactly. Yeah. Like, you still want to remain humble, but I don't think that
but
you have to
be proud of what you do. Yeah,
for sure. Because I mean, we are the same way where we're like, we're not perfect, but I don't. Like, I go to therapy, you refuse to go to therapy, but we've worked really hard to get to a place where I can give you the knowledge to help our relationship grow via therapy.
There you go. You're my therapist.
Yes. The therapist of the people. Thank you to my own therapist.
That is so true, though. I know it's so hard to be able to do. It's like, you know, you have no problems. Everyone else has the problems that you're with, and you're like, how do I contribute?
Relate.
It's just like, he's like, honestly, I'm doing fine in my relationship, you know?
Yeah, don't go digging for problems that don't exist.
Right.
Because then that will just be annoying and start problems out of nothing.
Right.
But be proud of your healthy relationship. You could still talk to your friends about their problems and then give advice because you don't have those problems. So maybe help them out. Next question. My husband keeps calling our sex vanilla, boring, and even called me a prude. To me, our sex life is great. We both reach our destination, if you know what I mean. We know what you mean.
We know what you mean.
We usually have sex every other day. If not that, then at least 2 to 3 times a week. We have 3 young kids, so that's no easy feat.
Good for you.
I know, fuck. I've tried expressing how the criticism is hurtful and making me want to have sex less and less. It feels like I just can't satisfy whatever his expectations are. He wants me to be the one to initiate more exciting sex, and I just can't seem to get it right. Even if I perform one of his examples, he'll complain that I didn't think of it on my own. I'm just not as sexual, I guess. Help.
You're like, damned if you do, damned if
you
don't.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What it sounds like.
Like, sir.
It seems like you're meeting him past halfway.
Yeah, I'm like, 2 to 3 times a week with 3 kids? Good for you.
Kids aside, that's just like, it doesn't seem, it seems very one-sided based off of how you're, like, you're meeting his needs, you're doing what he wants, you're not, I guess, taking initiative maybe on his side, or you are, but then he's going to counter with some other bullshit.
To say that you didn't think of that yourself. It's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
And just, you know, I totally relate with you saying, you know, it makes you not want to do it when he, you know,
brings you down every time and tries to blame you and calling you a prude. You have three kids.
Why would that make me
want to? You're obviously not a prude.
Yeah. Why would that make me want to do anything for you if you're just going to constantly be ragging on me?
I think, again, it boils down to communicating those things to him and saying, you bringing this up to me and bringing me down, do you think that this makes me want to fuck
you? We haven't done it in a while.
Communication. So important. But truly, I mean, that's not a way to get change behavior in someone, is by bringing them down. It's positive reinforcement. If anything, be like, what is he doing?
Is your approach, or his approach, be like, listen, dude, you got to figure out how to approach me in a better way, because how you're saying it is just like not helping the situation.
Right. I don't know that we really gave advice there other than tell him to fuck off.
I mean, you did. You talk about it, tell him to fix his approach, you know, let him know, like, where you feeling, where you stand about it. Be like, it seems like I'm trying to satisfy your needs, and I'm taking a proactive approach to doing what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's not enough. So, like,
what are your expectations in the bedroom?
What else do you want me to fucking do?
Exactly. What are they? What would make you happy, sir?
Just be like, you know what would make me happy? You go take the kids out of the fucking house for a couple hours and let me just chill by my, like, am I doing everything for you?
Send me to a spa. Maybe I'll be more creative in the bedroom if you can pamper me.
Right.
Done. Next question. I live in Colorado and recently ran into an influencer couple at the mall. I followed them on TikTok and Instagram for over a year and really enjoyed their content. I was in line behind them at the checkout counter of a store, and I told them that I really enjoyed their content. The husband was super nice, and we conversed a bit before it was time to pay. The wife, on the other hand, kept giving me dirty looks, and when I tried to talk to her, she would either not acknowledge me or give me one-worded answers. I was kind of taken aback and a little upset because I really liked her content too. Have you ever met a celebrity or someone you liked and they ended up being really rude, and how did you handle it?
I don't think I've ever met anyone that's rude.
Was this us, but roles reversed? Was John the rude one?
I'm nice to everyone. I know. Unless I am literally mid putting something in my mouth to eat. Like, that's the only time I'd be
the
annoyed.
Thing that I want to say about these experiences when people post about, oh, I met so-and-so and so-and-so, unless there's been multiple people who have come forward about having a terrible experience with said celebrity or content creator, people have bad days, you know, like sometimes they're dealing with a health issue. Sometimes they're tired. Sometimes they got bad news. So if you're meeting someone and they're not in the greatest headspace, I feel like you can't judge someone so harshly based off of a 30-second interaction, because you just don't know what they're dealing with.
There's something about common courtesy, though. Like, if it's just a hi in passing, that's different. I guess, like, having full-blown conversations.
I mean, I'm on the toxic side of I'm trying to be friends with fucking everyone, so I can't relate, because no matter what I'm going through, I'm still going to be like, how's your mom doing after not knowing you, after meeting you for 30 seconds? But I just think you have to give people grace in some of these situations. Sometimes, especially content creators or actors, are more on the shy side. Like, they come off really personable.
The people we've met, for the most part, are like introverts.
Right, which is super interesting to meet a content creator, because you just assume that they're going to be really extroverted, but then they
it makes sense though, because
are shy.
They're shooting content in their safe space, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like their outlet.
Right. But have you ever met someone? I think I've met people who didn't necessarily live up to what I anticipated them to be like, but no one who was rude. Actually, that's a lie. So we did recently meet someone.
We met one.
Where, but like,
they acted like they were
who hot cares?
Shit.
Like, for me, I don't know. I'm the type of person who's never been truly invested into someone where I'm like, never meet your heroes. It's going to ruin my day if they're not. I'm like, okay.
Right.
Well, she was a bitch. Like, whatever. Moving on. It doesn't impact me personally, but.
But you know why, probably?
Why?
Because how I approach people, and I met a lot of people, especially at the gym, I literally just go, hey, loved you and blah, blah, blah. nice to meet you or whatever. And that's it. I'm not opening up huge dialogues either, you know? So like everyone's been polite and common courtesy to me, whatever. The only thing I could keep thinking of is, and he's awesome, Paul Giamatti shook my hand. It was like the limpest handshake I've ever gotten in my life.
What?
It was like, that's it though. But that wasn't rude. I just remember that. I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
Or middle, sorry, college on the set of John Adams.
Hmm.
I was selling snow cones.
Snow cones? Mm-hmm. John, we are linked. I mean, I worked at Cold Stone Creamery.
I'll tell you what. Wow.
Soulmates. I mean, I wouldn't put too much energy or effort into it. It's disappointing, but at the same time, you do have to give people grace. Everyone, we're all just people, you know?
That's true. And some of us are assholes.
Next question. I met my boyfriend 3 years ago, and we started dating shortly after. About a year and a half ago, my boyfriend and his family went on vacation. Something happened on that trip, and I have no clue what because he refuses to tell me. But ever since that trip, he kisses his sister on the lips when we say goodbye. I am shocked every time it happens, and I don't know what to do. I have brought it up, and he just tells me it's not a big deal and to get over it. Do I let this 3-year relationship go because he kisses his sister or just accept the new behavior?
Yeah. That's so fucking
weird. I've seen people kiss their parents on the lips, which still after a certain age, whatever. I don't think it's appropriate, but a sibling, if I met you and the first time if I saw you interact with your sister, immediately no. That's a major ick. Not only an ick, it's just a red flag, right?
See you later, Janice.
Why did you just do 18 kisses there?
I'm going to be more uncomfortable if we make this into a short and people have like a debate about this and who's defending that.
Because we look like siblings.
Oh, that's true. We do look like siblings. Maybe that's why I'm so uncomfortable.
I do think that this is a deal breaker. I wouldn't be able to get past it. Imagine your wedding day and then like the family photos. No one knows who the bride is because he's just kissing his sister.
He's just kissing, yeah. So he like kisses you.
Yeah.
Kisses his sister.
Right. No. No. No, no, no.
Goes
no,
down
no,
the line, no, no. Kisses mom on the lips, grandmother on
the
lips.
Right, does he kiss his parents on the lips?
That's what I want to so ask you too. Like, right now.
When we have a baby, do we kiss a baby on the lips?
I think so.
But like
I probably won't.
I know, like I don't know that I've ever felt comfortable kissing even a baby on the lips. Like, and to each their own, I get it, they're a child. But then at what point do you stop? And then and some people don't, which again, sibling, I mean, parents, child.
It'd be hard for us to say that because we don't know. Maybe the baby comes out and we have all these new emotions.
Right. I know. That's what I'm going to say. Like, I'm never going to say never, but I don't imagine myself kissing my child on the lips when they're 15.
No. No, that's so weird.
Doesn't Tom Brady kiss his kids on the lips? That's what I've heard.
You don't have to whisper that. No, he does. That was weird.
I'm like,
that
I want him to hear this.
Very uncomfortable. You saw the video. I think he was getting like physical therapy done or something, and his son like walked in the room or out of the room. And he's like, wait. Like,
there's nothing wrong with just like a peck on the cheek, a hug.
Are we gonna get shit for this? Like, maybe. I can't tell. I don't know.
I think maybe this is one of those things where it's divided. It's like how people eat their pizza, I don't know, like differently. You know, like maybe.
I know people are probably gonna like how to defend it. They'll be like, this is a bonding thing, but bond with a hug.
Maybe that's just us.
Is this where we say don't yuck someone's yum? But
that's kind of in like romantic yum, relationships weird. Though. Yeah. Like yuck someone's yum when you're fucking, not when you're just related. It just crosses a boundary for me that I'm just like, ick. I wouldn't date someone who kissed their sibling if that's cool with you, but it sounds like it's not cool with you. So I don't know. That's just what I would do.
Yeah. I'm going to say no.
No. Also, what happened on this trip? Like that.
So they weren't
changed.
Kissing before this trip and then went on after, the trip and now they're kissing.
Yeah, exactly. You need to get some insight. Like, is it just his parents who joined?
Where did they go?
Maybe like call the resort where they went. I don't know. Anyway, should we move on?
Yeah.
Next question, John, as a man, How have you dealt with the loss of a best friend? We've been best friends since we were maybe 13, 14 years old. Certain events over the years have led him, who is one of the groomsmen in my wedding, to completely disregard specific obligations to me, constant excuses, and not checking in anymore. It's usually me just having to text him, unless it's another excuse for not fulfilling a promise. I've always prided myself in surrounding myself with great people, so the fact that this major change in our friendship has happened is very upsetting to me. I know it's time to move on. I would just like to know if you've dealt with a situation like this as well, and if I should tell him off, so to speak, man to man, before breaking it off completely.
I'm not gonna lie, at first I thought you were saying like one of your friends died.
Oh yeah, like the loss of a best friend.
Right. My main thing is, if they're not respecting you in your time, then it's not worth it.
There's only so much you can do and give into a relationship when it's not reciprocated. You just have to let that relationship die. And I mean, I get that some people want closure, and you're asking, do I tell him off? What is your advice there?
I wouldn't tell him off. I mean, you can explain yourself or just let it fizzle away.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's nothing, is this guy just like, these days, like just dodging his calls, not responding, flaking on him?
Sounds like he's just is not showing up. He's not checking in.
So it's not like there was some fight that you need to resolve. It's more like, you know what? If he wants to, I know in my relationships, I'm the one who's reaching out, like to stay in contact with people. So, and I do that on my own accord if I want to maintain that relationship or not. And if I don't, then I stop. And that's where you'll see it. Because if once I stop, and I've done that multiple times, I don't hear from the people ever.
But I think for you, because you generally are the person who reaches out, those people also then reciprocate. But I think if you got to the point where you were like, if I stop reaching out completely and I've never heard from this person again, then that kind of means the relationship is not.
Is the relationship, the relationship will be over. Will it affect me? You know, that kind of thing.
I mean, friend breakups are hard, I think, when they're abrupt. When they fizzle out over time, it's more, it's still sad reflecting on where you used to be and how things have changed. But I think that's also just life. People change. They have different priorities. Maybe they're dealing with something mentally. But if it's been years of this, you just have to kind of get to a point in life where you're like, what do I deserve in a friendship?
I know as I get older too, like I see different stages of friendships where they like, and they grow apart. Like you have, I do still have like one or two friends from like when I was a child, you know, a child that baby. I'll reach out to. And, you know, I haven't seen them forever.
Yeah.
And then like you have some of your college friends, and now as you get older, I'm assuming like once we have kids, that's probably our next set of friends that
right.
we have.
I also want to point out that relationships and friendships do ebb and flow.
Yeah.
There's different seasons of your life where you might be closer to this person. You might have different things going on. So just because you're not as close right now doesn't mean it's the end forever. That's why I'm not a huge fan of like,
I wouldn't make it dramatic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have a specific conversation about it, because there is nothing that happened. It's just the relationship has fallen out over time, but that's not to say it won't come back down the road. But you have a right to feel disappointed or sad for where your relationship has gone.
Right. Well, you're putting all the time and energy into it, and it's not getting reciprocated. So, you know, well, see you later.
See you later. Next question. My husband and I work full-time and have two young kids. I know that we are very lucky because our parents on both sides help with the kids. My parents do both bus drop-off and pick-up. My husband and I try to lead a healthy lifestyle and are trying to instill that importance in our kids. Nothing crazy, but healthier choices in food is something that we've spoken to my parents about multiple times. My parents are constantly bringing things over, like juice, donuts, and candy. Every time I ask them not to, my stubborn Sicilian father gets defensive and makes a million excuses as to why it's not a big deal. And my laid-back mother just laughs it off and says, "We turned out fine eating all these snacks growing up." If it was a once-in-a-while thing, I would just ignore it, but it's become part of their routine with the kids. I feel like my parents are blatantly going against our wishes for our children. I'm super grateful for their help, and I appreciate the fact that they want to spoil our kids, but I think they should still respect our wishes. Any advice on how to handle this situation? For the record, hiring help is not in our budget, so that unfortunately is not an option for us.
It's so funny, like, I'm starting to think of all this stuff when we don't even have a kid yet, because I'd be like, I would get pissed.
The thing is, I'm like,
because you're probably working so hard to like maintain this like diet and health thing for your kid during the week or whatever. And then they come over and they just like shit on it with bringing their own food. Well, they're not respecting your decision or choices. And, you know, thank God they're there to help you babysit and whatever. But yeah, you got to express that and nip that in the butt because it just seems like they're not a respecting you.
I would love to hear from other parents in the comments who have dealt with this because I feel like this is going to be an inevitable situation that you deal with because parents, when they parented 30 years ago, it was so different. Number one, they probably don't remember all the specifics. Number two, things have changed. Like we have a lot more information and knowledge on diet, nutrition, the things that are terrible for us. And yeah, just because we turned out fucking fine doesn't mean that we still want to repeat those behaviors or repeat what we had growing up. Like we know that eating sugary cereal isn't the best. And I get what they're saying though, where it's like, oh, once in a while it would be fine. Like totally. But when it's a habit, you're making decisions as a parent as to how you want to raise
and
your
what
kids.
They're saying is fucking subjective too. Like, and look at you, you'll be fine. Be like, says you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. According to who?
Says my parents, I fucking have high cholesterol.
Right.
So I don't know if that was my own doing in college.
And now it's like colon cancer is on the rise. Like, is any of that linked to that? Like, we just don't know. But like, we know that all of that food that we were eating and consuming as kids was just packed with chemicals. And either way, even if you wanted to feed your kids that way and your parents were doing the opposite, whatever your choice is, they need to respect. I mean, they're not the parents anymore. They're the grandparents.
Have them tap into their past because you know they probably got in their parents' ass or there's some sort of like conflict between them and their parents back in the day when they were raising you.
But what do people do? I really want to hear from the parents. How do you handle these situations with grandparents who are being super helpful?
Frisk them at the door. You got the super soda? You got any of the food? I'm going to take it off of you. I'm going to keep it.
Right. I'll eat it. But my little one.
Yeah.
Needs the nourishment.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. All these new topics that
your mom, we won't have a problem with your mom though.
Oh, my mom is a health nut.
My mom will bring over like sausage and peppers and onions, everything in oil. She's an amazing cook. Chicken pot. I'm getting hungry.
Me too. It will be nice to have her when we
her eggplant, Parmesan.
Have a baby because so it will just be all like the like most warm, like heartwarming food that we're just gonna
heavy.
Want.
It's heavy.
Yeah, I'm gonna just be like oozing grease and oil, but my heart will be happy. But yeah, I think at this, when you're dealing with your own children and how you're choosing to raise them, boundaries are set. And if people don't respect those boundaries, just like with kids, there's consequences. So punch them in the face. Like, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, what do you
do? She's joking.
Yeah, I'm joking. Violence is not the answer. But having stern conversations with your parents, I guess. Yeah. Like,
what else are you going to do? Seriously, what else are you going to do? Not let them see the grandkids? Like, no.
Just like, it's a matter of respect. Hey.
I will keep in mind they're coming from a place of love.
Right.
You know?
But then you could turn it and just be like, if you love me and you really love your grandchild, you're going to do what's best for them. And I'm the parent and I know what's best.
There you go. See?
There you go.
See,
wow.
We got there. We got there.
We're already doing great.
Look at us.
Next question. I'm having trouble with what the right thing to do is. I'm currently 7 months pregnant with my first child and my child's father wants nothing to do with any of it. This doesn't bother me. However, a part of me feels bad that his mom will never know that she is going to be a grandmother. I've gone back and forth between wanting to reach out to her to tell her and just simply not knowing if it's my place to do so. I cannot and will not force my child's father to be part of his own kid's life, but I feel as though his mom should be able to make that choice for herself. Now, I have never met his mom and have been under the impression that they are not close, as he has told me he is not close with his family anymore. I did some digging and found her on Facebook, but as I've said, a part of me feels as though it's not my place to do or say anything. Please help. Any thoughts?
I mean, you don't know what door you're opening up. Is the grandmother crazy?
Right.
You know, is this going to be more of a headache for you?
If you met her, if you knew who she was, I would say tell her. Because why not? Like, I as a future grandmother would also want to know.
I'm sorry, is she's married or this guy just knocked her up and he's
I think it doesn't say that they were dating, but the fact that you've never met his mom and he has already expressed that he wants nothing to do with this child, I don't think that you should reach out. I think to what John said, you might be opening up an entire new can of worms that you actually don't want to deal with.
Right.
If your kid gets older and wants to find his or her father and family down the road, that's
the
good
prerogative
news is to
you're not really doing anything wrong. The door's open, right? It's not like you're closing them off, so you don't have to feel guilty about anything, but I think you protect yourself.
Right.
Get more information first before you make any sort of decision, because if you don't know her personality, the type of person she is, you're going into it blind.
Yeah. Again, I think it could cause more problems. If you had met her, again, you would know what you were walking into and if she would play a pivotal role in this child's life, but I don't know. I also think then that's tying you to the father who made it clear that he wants nothing to do with it. I don't know. It's a shitty situation, but I vote don't reach out.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Next question. My husband hates our new neighbors on both sides. They're noisy, they smoke, and we smell it, even inside of our house. We've spoken to them about it, and they smoke on the other side of the property, but it hasn't helped. One has subdivided their block, so we'll be getting another house on top of us soon, and the other has put in a DA for extensive renovations. We don't want to deal with the noise, the smell, and lack of privacy. All of these properties can see into our house and our yard. We've put in as many plants and privacy screens that we can afford. My husband wants to move. We built this house over 5 years with our blood, sweat, and tears. It's our dream waterfront home on a lake where we could just walk down to the water for a swim. Since we've bought and renovated, there's been a huge property price boom in the area. While we'll make a tidy profit, we'll never be able to afford waterfront again. I'm a nurse and my husband is a carpenter, and we don't have a lot of money left after mortgage and bills. We have a one-year-old, and I always envisioned our whole life here with our son having his dream childhood on the lake. In a way, I want to move to get away from the noise and the smells, but I'm scared to give up this whole life that we had envisioned, and we'll have to move further away from friends and family to even afford a property with more privacy and space. Is it worth to upend our whole lives for more privacy? What would you do?
I mean, first off, you can't tell other people what to do on their property.
True.
You don't have an HOA, you have no ground to stand on.
Also, they're smoking outside, which is the place where they should be smoking.
Right. I mean,
but you're also talking to the people, John and I, who move for no reason at all. So, like, my vote is move. If you already have these stressors and this situation that you're dealing with, move.
I mean, what's pros versus cons? It's like you want this lake house really bad and be near the lake, but you don't like your neighbors. It's a toxic environment for you.
Is it worth sacrificing your mental health
right
to have a waterfront home?
Also, your kid's one right now. So you have time to make a decision. Who knows how you're going to feel a year from now?
Because right.
Is this your main? Is this where they live? This is like their main?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have time before you need to like uproot your family if you think more on it. Because you might really hate it in like a year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just think that
for me, I would be out. I already know it'd be out.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't love anything enough to stay somewhere.
No. And privacy for us, it's funny too, because things just change over time. Like, you know how you had mentioned that this was your dream home and whatever. Our first house would have been my dream home. But now, fuck no. Like, I just think that
that first house was definitely not our dream home.
Not for you. I loved it because I love the area. Yeah. I thought that the property was perfect. It was just like what we needed at the time. And I would have stayed there. But as we grow, things change. I just think that your needs and your wants and your expectations change. So not that this still couldn't be your dream home if these other outside factors weren't a thing, but they are a thing. You have shitty neighbors. And on top of that, you don't really have privacy. That would be number one for me. I'd be like, I don't want
devil's advocate though. I feel like it'll always be something.
Yeah, for sure.
Wherever you are, you're not going
to
like.
You have to make a pros and cons list, because we've talked about that too. When it comes to moving or figuring out what we want, you can't have everything. It's really hard to have all of your boxes checked. So make a pros and cons list.
Yeah, and give it a little more time, I think. Because if you're up in the air about it, like, I wouldn't just uproot because you really love the area. So
right.
I just think if the more time you have, the more you'll realize if you can tolerate it or not.
Oh, but imagine listing your house and then the neighbors are like, oh, there's all this construction going on. You know, the new people buying, they're like, oh, there's all this construction going on.
Who gives a fuck about them? You're not in the house.
No, I'm saying like, maybe it will be harder to sell if you wait for the contract, like the new construction to start.
Oh, yeah, but it won't take a year. I'm saying if you give it another year.
Who knows?
That construction will be done by then. Whatever.
Make a list. Best of luck. Next question. My husband co-signed a car loan for his sister, who's in her late 30s, after being manipulated by said sister to do so. I never liked the agreement to begin with, but we have moved past that because now my sister-in-law has been unemployed due to an injury at work, and we have ended up becoming solely responsible for that vehicle payment. My sister-in-law has made poor choice after poor choice in her finances, and so the payments on this car are as much as her own mortgage. We do okay for ourselves, but by no means are we in a position to foot the bill. However, if we don't and they repo the car, it will mess up my husband's credit that he's worked so hard to build. The kicker is that my sister-in-law is doing nothing to fix the situation. Legal action is talked about being taken for the company not paying out for her injury at work, but she has not actually done anything. We pay for her car and we don't even get a thank you or any type of communication on what her plan is for the future. Her husband and her don't share finances either, and he didn't even know about the situation until it was brought up. So even though her husband is employed, the actuality of him paying is not in the cards. At this point, we want to tell the bank the situation and let them take the car or try to sell it ourselves. But my husband is obviously worried about his sister. She has poor mental health on top of all this and is worried she will become destructive or suicidal. What the hell would you do? We feel like we lose no matter what.
I don't care if I am a multi-millionaire. I am so sick of pant loads. If you're not trying to better yourself, why the fuck am I going to help you? Oh my God. You don't.
I knew this one would ruffle your feathers.
Oh my God. Just like sell the car, burn the car. I'd rather take a huge loss on that, on it. Burn the car and be like, figure it out. Take the fucking bus. You have mental health. There's therapy out there. You can find some therapy. Talk to your husband. Thank you so much for letting me take over your car bill when you have a husband who you didn't even fucking tell about this. Like,
what?
Blood or not, I don't give a fuck.
I'd be more annoyed at my husband for allowing this agreeing to co-sign on his sister's loan with no plan in place, with nothing that she promised, with no contract.
Wait, did he do this without talking to her?
No, it sounds like she just said, I never liked the agreement to begin with, but we've moved past this.
He did communicate with her about it. The thing is, based off of the personality you're telling me, I know this isn't her first stint at doing something stupid.
No, but people love to use the mental health card as a reason to not fall on their ass.
Like, I wouldn't have done it in the first place as the wife. Like, I wouldn't have agreed to this. Because
right.
I might be assuming, but I'm 90% sure there's been other shit she's done in the past that shows the type of person she is. This isn't out of nowhere where it's like, I feel bad for her. It's like, it seems like you probably had to help her out before.
Also, or the brother's done something before. The fact that the car payment is just as much as her mortgage, what kind of fucking
car did she
get?
Why would you agree to that?
Yeah, what? That is insanity.
Get her a moped.
Right? A scooter, a bicycle. Like, people.
People make such stupid fucking financial choices.
Because they're the victims, John. Like, woe is me. And then they won't do anything to better their situations. And then it's their family members who have to.
Or they'll buy more to get that instant gratification to make themselves feel bad about their shitty choices that they make.
Right. Yeah. John and I have similar experiences in this, just like from family. And so I just think that we wouldn't have put ourselves in this situation to begin with. But again, who's to say? Maybe we would. Never say never. But at this point, I do think you need to take the necessary actions to get out of this payment. Your sister-in-law is not going to learn until
she
hits rock bottom or until she's ready. I mean, she's not going to make these payments. And again, why should this impact your financial situation because of her shit decisions? It shouldn't.
I hate when people throw their shit on other people. It's so annoying. I will say this rule of thumb in the future, and because this has happened to my parents. My parents have gave people money and then they never got it
back.
Well,
when you, oh yeah.
So what I want to say is in the future, if you ever decide to help someone out again, and we've talked about this, it has to be an amount that we know we're not going to get back.
Right. Like you have to
look at it like you're going to get any return.
100%. If someone comes to you, you have to be okay with never seeing
that again.
Just
eating that money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's majority of times that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. It sucks. It sucks because when you want to be helpful and be a good person, but that person on the other side, on the receiving end, has to have...
That would be so toxic to my husband. Every single day, I would look at him and be like, I hope you're doing overtime today. Because yeah. You got to make that monthly payment.
For your debut sister.
You. Thank you for that.
Also, like, she's married. It should be her husband's problem at this point. Why is it up to your sibling to take care of you? Even your parents. I get, like, your parents, yes, they're like, oh my God, I'll take care of my children no matter how old they get. Like... Although I think at a certain age, it's fucking inappropriate to be mooching off of your parents. Where are the parents here? Why is it on your husband to take care of his
sister?
Don't
even say parents. It doesn't matter. You're in your 30s. Parents should not even be part of the conversation.
You should just be financially independent in your late 30s. If you are able-bodied,
if anyone says,
I know she said that she's injured, but one of my aunts is legally blind, cannot see, has never had an excuse. She's always gone to work full time. She takes the bus. She reads her, like, she's done everything. I just feel like, and you see people who go through terrible, terrible things and are still able to work for themselves.
If
and
somebody defends this person, you're the problem.
Right.
You're the problem. Like, well, maybe she just had a string of bad luck. I'm like, so she's got to be a fucking anchor crutch to everyone else around her? Fix your shit. Get your shit together.
Get your shit together. So what would you do if you were with his wife?
Okay. Next question. You know where we stand.
All right. So we'll move on. Next question. Am I the asshole for telling my best friend she cannot bring her one-year-old to my wedding? To clarify, I asked my friend to be my bridesmaid and she said yes. My friend has a one-year-old with her baby daddy who was also invited. And I said, you have the option to bring the baby or get a babysitter. I also gave this option to all of my bridesmaids with kids. She said that she wanted to bring her baby. I said, great. Let me know what family members you want to come to the wedding. And I also mentioned that there will be other kids and plenty of moms there to help. I told her the bridal suite is a house so she can have her own room for a nap or whatever she needs. The friend then sent me ideas for the dress she was thinking of buying that same week. 1 week later, she messaged me that she believes she should just be a guest and not a bridesmaid. I said, I understand. I'm not a mom, so whatever you are thinking is best. Then I thought about it further and how accommodating I have been to her just so that she could be a part of our special day. She then told me she does not want to bring family or get help with the baby for the wedding. I said, are you sure? Because guests cannot bring their kids. She then said, okay, well then I will not be going to your wedding. She's my best friend and an old roommate. Am I the asshole?
That's a weird... So only people in the bridal party can bring
their
kids.
I mean, I'll say it.
I mean, well, at this point, just like,
let her bring her kid.
Let her bring her kid or don't let her come. Like, I wouldn't go back and forth anymore.
No.
Just like, whatever you need to do, I think I would just chalk that up as a loss for you.
I think like at this point, like she's a good enough friend that you invited her to be a bridesmaid.
That gets hairy because now you're, you know,
different. She was gonna be a bridesmaid. Like, yeah, she's a normal guest now, but she was gonna be a bridesmaid. So you're obviously close enough with her. She was gonna, the reason why she stepped down as a bridesmaid is because, again, she probably doesn't wanna have to be in photos, get there early, have to worry about nap time. Like, I don't know what it's like to be a mom, again, similar to you. You don't either. But I can imagine that being a bridesmaid or being in the wedding with your kid around is probably stressful. So I could see why she probably wants her kid there, but to show up a little bit later to the wedding at the ceremony. And so that's why she opted for that option. And I could see why she'd be a little annoyed now that you're like, well, now that you're not a bridesmaid, you cannot bring your child. There's going to be other kids there. There are.
Okay. So we both agree at the same, for one part of this. We're both agreeing, like, don't counter back with something.
Right. If she was just going to be a guest from the start, sure. It's tough, though. It's like, whose rules? Who's a guest? Who's a bridesmaid? Whatever. Just,
I mean,
if other kids are going to be there, if this was a kid-friendly
wedding.
To her,
you're looking like the asshole in this situation.
Right.
For sure. So how far do you want to go with it? Me personally, I just, if she, as soon as she said like, maybe I probably won't go, then I'd be like, okay, I understand.
Right.
The reason I would say that is because I don't want to muddy the water with anyone else, because then it's just going to be a trickle down effect of other people. Like, well, this person's not in the bridal party. Now she has a kid. Like, why can't I bring my kid?
But she
like
was
a whole thing.
Close enough, you know, like
irrelevant, doesn't matter.
But if a coworker is going to be annoyed that they can't bring their baby, but her best friend who stepped down as a bridesmaid is bringing their baby, then like, you're a shitty coworker person. Like, people should understand.
But half these people don't know that that's her best friend. Like, how many people?
Then who cares?
How many people do they know each other at the fucking wedding? Not
but
everyone.
Some people like only want family, like fam related kids there. You know, like people have their own choices for doing whatever the fuck they want at weddings. And you do too. You could choose whatever rules you want. But I could see why your friend would be annoyed. Like, asshole's a strong word, but like, I'd be like, you're annoying.
Did you already say something back to her after she said, I won't come then? Or is she right. waiting? Are you waiting to say something?
We need an update. We need an update.
Right.
But, oh my God. It's either like have kids at your wedding or don't. That's why at our wedding, we were like, no fucking kids.
No, we did. No, my uncle kids. Brought his kids.
Remember? John, 17, 18 years old is not considered.
They're not. I don't think he was 18. They're not legally adults. I'm
John,
just saying.
They were in high school. They're not little kids running around on the dance floor who can't be contained.
I'm just saying they were there. They weren't adults.
Okay.
Was there any other kids there?
There was no one below the age of 16 at our wedding.
I mean, hey, I'm just saying.
Because we said no kids. I mean, yeah, I guess a 16-year-old is a kid, but we meant no babies, no toddlers. Because, you know, you want everyone to enjoy themselves. And if you can't come, you can't come. I understand if you need to be at home with your baby or your child and you can't get a babysitter, like, that's okay. But if you can make it, great. But I think, again, it does get hairy when you're like, well, these people can bring their kids and these people cannot. And then these people and these people, you have the right to make whatever rules you want for your wedding. But then when things are changing, you also just can't.
It's so funny. None
you
of
can't
this,
please everyone.
None of this shit bothers me at all. So I can't relate. If someone's like, hey, I can't go, I'd be like, no problem.
Yeah, I know.
Anyone who decides not to come, no problem.
That's on them. Right.
Right.
If you're choosing.
But I'm never going to get like personally insulted if someone can't come. Because it's whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Weddings, these things just get hairy for no reason.
Yep. Anyways, wow. Was that all the questions?
So did we really answer this? Like, what should we do?
I said, just leave it at that. Just don't let her come. Don't let her come. Don't say anything back to her. Just like, if she doesn't want to come, be like, okay, I understand. Because I don't want to muddy the water any more than it already is. That's where I stand.
I think you're just making a choice to like have this really hard rule of guests cannot bring their kids, bridal party can. And I do think it's a little bit petty to do with someone who was going to be your bridesmaid.
I will say it won't matter halfway through your fucking wedding anyways. So
anyway.
Cool.
That's it.
That's it. That's it.
Shall we get into secrets?
Get into secrets.
Okay. First secret. Just a dumbass drunk story from college. I feel like we could probably write in our own secrets with that same title. I got locked out of my friend's house after a long party night, so I decided to sleep under my car for warmth. I didn't want the car to run with me in it because they can land you. Oh, like they didn't want to be in the car.
Drunk, like.
Because, yeah, they can land you a DUI.
Did that happen to your cousin?
Yes. I don't want to share her secret though, but yeah.
Well, you don't say her name or anything, but she slept in the back seat
and
then she got a DUI.
Got arrested. She got arrested because she was, I think, just chilling in the back seat while her friends, she was hungover, laying in the back seat while her friends were getting food in the diner. And I'm almost positive they put her in handcuffs. I don't know if she went to jail, but yeah.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, so my Jack Daniels brain decided to run the engine and get under the car and sleep on the street for warmth while the
what
engine.
The fuck?
Well, the heat from the engine was radiating down. Finest moment there. That's dangerous. Also, like,
what the fuck?
I mean, you're
how long?
You're
overnight?
Outside, so I guess like carbon monoxide wouldn't be a thing, but I would just all the fumes that you're breathing in
cannot be good for you.
No. Oh God, that's scary. Well, thankfully you lived
drunk stories
to
are the
tell
best.
The tale.
They're so funny.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. True.
Next secret. For the person who shared that they pooped in a trash bag, I have my own story. When I was in law school, I used to go into a small study room in the library. There, I peed in a small trash can hoping no one would notice. Now looking back, I wonder if the cleaning lady ever complained about someone urinating in the trash.
I feel so bad for cleaning people.
I know. They just deal with the most disgustingness. I actually remember dating someone who would pee in trash cans. Like standing trash cans. They would go up to it if we were out in public and pee.
I mean, if you have to go, you have to go.
Just something that an experience that a girl would never even think about. What are you talking about?
Think about festivals. How many chicks I see just pissing in a bush or like in the grass. Bush,
but like walking up to a trash can, just like dick level, peeing in the trash can. I'm just like, I would never even think to do that ever because I don't have a dick. But like a bush, whatever. But then you're
just, you think that's bad,
so much more likely. What have you peed in?
Just pee in anything.
My mouth.
Okay. So we're going to move on to reviews. Just one review. Perfection by MFH2014. A real couple giving real advice. I love how you keep it real and you both are so interesting to listen to. Love your podcast and reels. Thank you.
Yay. Ooh.
We did it. Great day. In a chair for a fucking hour.
Oh, John.
Time to get up.
So excited for lunch.
I'm starving. Anyways.
Yay.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Like, subscribe, email, comment, follow us on all the channels.
If you want to email us, you can reach us at hello@giveittomestraightpodcast.com. You can find us on all the socials everywhere at Give It To Me Straight Podcast. And if you want to submit an anonymous question, you can do so with the link in our bio or somewhere in our show notes, guys. But I think that's it.
And we'll see you next week. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.